All right, you can start the meeting, Bill.
Okay, do we have a quorum?
We do.
Yes, you have a quorum.
We have a quorum, yeah.
All righty, see here. I guess the first item on the agenda. Approval of minutes in the last meeting.
Start all the way at one, call to order and roll call.
Okay, call to order, roll call.
And Pledge of Allegiance.
So roll call, Carol.
Okay, I can do it. Okay, Ray Griffith. Bill.
Yeah.
Carla's here. Alexandra. Francis.
Here.
Okay, yay, Fran. And you go by Fran, right? Okay.
Yes, Chris, please.
Christy.
Here.
Eric. Donna. Jerry. And Michael.
Well, yeah, Jerry's here. Donna's not.
Right, I see she's not. Actually. Okay. All right, then, everybody, we got a quorum and we're ready to go.
Okay, I got a pledge of allegiance. Ready? Uh-huh. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America.
And to the Republic.
Republic for which it stands.
Which it stands, one nation
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Amen. At least we're getting to play ball a little bit, huh? All right. Number three. What am I supposed to do there?
Number two, we need to adopt the agenda.
Okay. Adopt the agenda, number two.
I move the agenda be adopted.
Second.
Okay. I guess you got a second. It's
Fran seconded it.
Okay. Got a second. It's the agenda is adopted.
Oh, you have to do a roll call
vote.
You have to vote.
Okay. Okay, I guess we vote.
So do a roll call vote because it's via Zoom.
Bill, okay. Do you have everybody's name? Oh, I do. Okay, here we go. We're gonna vote.
Carla would do it.
Okay, adopt the agenda. Bill.
Aye.
Carla says aye. Fran.
Aye.
Christy.
Aye.
Jerry?
Doesn't
oh, you don't
vote.
Do it.
I don't vote.
All right. We carried.
All right.
All right. Good. Okay.
So seeing no members of the public, you can go to item four.
Item four, approval of minutes.
I move the minutes be approved.
I hear second.
Second for the minutes to be approved, Fran or Christy?
I wasn't here for the last meeting.
Okay, Christy, second.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been approved and seconded.
Oh, all right, here we go for a vote. Bill?
Aye.
Carla, aye. Fran?
Aye.
Christy?
Aye.
Passed.
Okay, that's looks like that got passed. Okay, irrigation committee member comments and report.
Okay, Ray's not here, and he would probably be the one to report that.
Okay, so what do I got to report?
Well, if you don't have anything to report, you don't have anything.
Welcome the new members, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome the new members. The last I checked, water's flowing beautifully, and we're having a good day except for the fire.
Perfect. Okay. Welcome, Fran. It's nice to have you aboard.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Welcome in, Fran.
Thank you.
That's new.
Okay. I think that's the only one we have that's new today.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Let's move on to old business.
Okay, then we go to old business. Review ordinance 2004-1. Recommend board changes to board. I guess we
are we ready to discuss it?
Yeah.
Okay. Get it rolling.
Okay. Anybody want to address this?
Should we just start at the top and go through? And we can do it quickly, but instead of bouncing around, maybe we just start out with general conditions. And if somebody wants to discuss it, especially where the blue, does everybody understand the ordinance and how it's set up and what the blue indicates?
Blue is the suggested changes, right?
Right, correct. I wasn't sure, Fran. Fran, you have the ordinance, right? Did you have time to read it?
No, I was looking for it, couldn't find it. I'll read it and let you know if I have any changes. Probably not. This is a 2004 ordinance, correct?
2005.
2005. So we're in 2022. I think if it needed changes, it would have been done by now.
Well, not necessarily. That's why we're all together. So okay. I think we should just go through it and let's talk about it. So Bill, do you want to just start at the top and go on down?
Okay, so I gotta find it. Yeah, here it is. Hopefully, I get all this stuff in thing. I printed out a whole bunch of it. Okay, the ordinance. It being enacted by the Board of Directors of the Georgetown Public Utility District, California, as follows: rules, regulations of district for PUD adopted by board. Number one, condition: control system direct work shall be under exclusive control of management and the district personnel duty appointed by the Board of Directors. Any comment there?
Well, you know what? Since there's blue, maybe just read to down to the blue, because the blue's gonna are recommended suggested changes and what that would indicate. And so the blue after the
proceeding. If somebody's got the blue stuff lined out, you could probably let me know, because I printed mine out. It's all in white.
Okay. Well, our blue starts with suggested change and it's underscored. So you see suggested changes and the solution.
Yeah.
Okay, that's in blue for us. So those are not in the ordinance. Those are things that are possible, suggested from the community that we could probably look at and make changes or decide upon. So that's what that indicates. So.
Okay, I see them now. I'm putting some red around them so I can see them.
Okay, perfect.
Okay,
I'll help you because I've got mine in blue. So I'll help you when we get to those blue things.
Okay, I guess the first one is district shall not be liable for interruptions and shortages, efficiency of irrigation water system, or for any loss or damage hereby. Suggested change: increase district liability for outage, reduce revenue, unlikely. You shift costs from group to customer to all customers. Solution: revise ordinance. So anybody want to make a comment on that?
Well, I was curious what exactly increased district liability means, since everything I read, the district is taking measures to make sure they're not held responsible. So I'm not sure, what are we increasing the liability? I didn't understand that. Because I don't see any liability anyhow.
Michael,
go ahead, Christy.
I'm sorry. Are we only talking financial liability? Because to me, there's different liabilities. There's the blockages. There's the leaks. There's other things that could happen that would not just be financial.
Well, that's true. So what exactly does that mean?
Right. I think we need to define what.
Gonna listen to this, so
what liable means, what liabilities.
Yay, Alexandra's here.
Yay, so could Alexandra. That mean,
oh yes, I could am sorry mean, I forgot to mute.
Could that mean a liability for the standpoint of, okay, well, like this year is a perfect example. We had 2 or 3 days of missed water, irrigation water that people probably didn't get. So are we gonna give them more days, subtract money for that, or what? I mean, that's the only thing I could see, but I don't see it as a liability. I mean, nobody's going to sue you over it.
No, especially under the situation. Okay, so
right, we got an emergency.
So I'm still at, what does increased district liability mean? I don't understand that. So who do we ask to get more clarification on that?
Probably our lawyer.
Okay, so.
Or Adam. Adam, do you have anything to weigh in on that?
So I think, you know, what it, when it says liable to, you know, everything, it says damage, water supply, loss. So typically, I think it would be, say, if we had an overflow or something, say a tree fell in the ditch and it caused a blockage and you had water overflowing and, you know, it impacted someone's road or something like that. I think that's probably, you know, where it's going. I think that would be, you know, that'd be monetary liability. I think it covers further on in the ordinance. It talks about the 5 days without supplying water.
Right.
Thank you. So I couldn't find it. Thank you.
So that's what I mean. It seems like the district, I mean, the language seems pretty clear to me that the district is not going to be held liable for anything. I don't see anything. So I'm just curious, like, how do we increase it? And I might be being really petty, but I just don't see, what do we increase? What do we do to make it more? Do we need?
I mean, you know, if a tree falls over and causes flooding, it ain't the district's fault. Act of God.
So the district needs to clean it up. Who's responsible for getting rid of that tree?
Depends on
whether it's within our scope. If it's right on the ditch and it's within our right of way, then it's our job. If it's back further onto the somebody else's property, it's their job.
Yeah, I agree. If it falls on the ditch, then we've got to get it out of there, right?
That's you got to get it out of there, but we're not liable.
But you're not liable for anything.
The district does remove trees. They fall in the ditch, and that impacts the whole entire flow. Typically, the district is not, you know, if there's a tree next to the ditch, the district doesn't own that tree. You know, we have the easement through the property owner's parcel. So that property owner is liable for that tree. If it falls, yes, we're going to take out of the ditch because we need to keep, you know, water flowing. But we're not going to, you know, remove that tree more than having water flow down the ditch.
Yeah. Well, there are things under the district's control and things not under the district's control. And I think we could approach the increase or documenting that where our liability is where we want it.
So let's, no changes, right? Are we saying no change then to the ordinance and move on? I'm okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that too, because, you know, the district's what, 60, 70 years old, and we haven't had any problems yet. That way,
at least not that I know of. So we could always go.
No, I mean,
if someone more knowledgeable than us sees that something different, then we can always. But for me right now, I'm saying leave as is. Let's move on.
Can we just say that the district should not be financially liable for interruption? To define it a little bit, or is that not?
I mean, you can make the suggestion to the board when you do that. You could, I mean, they could look at it from there.
What does everybody think?
Should we take a few weeks and let the district's lawyer look at it?
No, we really can't, because we put it off way too long. We should have addressed this at the beginning of our gatherings together, Fran, and we did not. We didn't realize the situation. And so, or we didn't understand exactly how the whole process worked. So now we're kind of trying to get this done and back to the board. And I mean, I'm okay with putting it off, but I hope we can get it done and back to them today.
Okay.
Can we,
if I may chime in just to let you know the process. So the process is you guys come up with your recommendations and you give it to the board. You don't have, like, the next people that see it from you is the board. So you right. don't get to give it to the lawyers or anything like that.
Okay.
You guys can take more time to go through it if you want. So if you want to have more time, I mean, there's no rush because you're the committee that once you review it fully, it comes back to us. So you can take another meeting or so if you want to go through.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got till next irrigation season.
I was going to say, yeah, we're at the end of the season. Can we go over this at today's meeting, you know, succinctly, but then come back? I think our next meeting's in November.
Correct.
And let's come back and make sure that everybody's gone through it and has written suggestions.
I think that's a great idea. And Alexandra has her hand up, or had her hand up. Alexandra?
I was just going to say that the board is, the district is a little bit financially fragile perhaps to take on liability and more costs.
Uh-oh, Alexandra, I can't hear you. I'm not understanding anything you say on this end.
Okay. Let me... Okay,
better.
Let me see if I video in. Is this clearer? Can you hear me?
Yes, that's much better.
I don't know why. Okay. I was just going to say that the district might be a bit financially fragile to take on extra liability or expenses, costs. But I'm happy to leave it and put written comments in for the next meeting as being suggested.
Okay, yeah, let's start it and come back to this one. How's that?
I think it's adequate just to say the board should look at better definition.
Oh, I like that, Christy. That's great.
Okay. Save us some time.
Okay, I guess we're done with that. I guess we go to the next one.
Yep.
The district expressly asserts the right to recapture, reuse, resell all water
where
originally
are
from the district.
Where
on 2 of 10, suggestion change, district not allowed to transfer water challenges.
On page 2, right?
Yeah.
Next blue area.
Oh, next blue area. Okay.
Item G.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is a district not allowed to transfer water? That was one of the suggested changes.
Is this related to the 2,000 acre feet that we got obligated to?
Let's see, did you read it? So we're talking about pumping of water by the customer is done at the customer's risk. The district assumes no liability for damage to pumping equipment or other damages as a result of turbulent water shortages, excess of water.
Way up there, sorry.
Okay, or other causes. F, no purchaser of water from the district acquires a propriety or vested right by reason of use. No purchaser acquires a right to resell water or to use for a purpose other than that for which it was applied, nor to use it on premises other than indicated on the application. The terms, conditions, priorities, and allocation of irrigation service may be altered and amended by the board of directors. The district does not guarantee irrigation service customers the right to future service. G, the district expressly asserts the right to recapture, reuse, and resell all waters originating from district works. Suggested change, district not allowed to transfer water. Challenges, self-imposed limitation on water rights, legal implication, and a solution suggested currently not allowed without board approval. So I think what they're talking about is selling water, correct?
Is this for the customers or the district?
That's
to
what
sell water?
I think it's us selling water. We cannot sell our water, correct?
Well, yeah, the individual. That wasn't a change. This one was for the district selling water.
Oh, okay. So if to change it would be self-imposed limitations on water rights and the legal implication.
Yes.
The solution would be currently not allowed without board approval. So what we're saying is we don't, the ordinance would be that the board could not sell water. Is that correct? Anyone?
Again, we sold 2,000 some acre feet, right?
I don't know.
So I think this is two different, if I could chime in, two different things here. It's talking about, say, I know it has, you know, it talks about the water transfer here, but it's really talking about, say, once the water's in the irrigation canal, capturing it and reusing it once it, if we lose it from that point. I think that the transfer is a bigger item than this item G here. This is once it goes into actual canal is what it's talking about.
Okay, so what does that mean? Like, so once it's in the canal,
I think once it gets into the to the customer's hands,
is that what it's talking about? Just customers selling, turning around and selling the water?
Right. So say if it goes in the canal, goes in, it basically is saying that in a roundabout way that the customer cannot claim like a water right on that water.
I see.
So okay. It doesn't say
customer anywhere in here.
Yeah.
Right. So I would suggest to the board that this section definitely needs to be worded a little clearer. Is that, or Christy, you're good with that. How do you?
Yeah, we need to clear up ambiguities.
Ooh, you're good, girl.
Yeah, you gotta make it read so that you can tell what it's talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
You know, it's got to be really explained. So that one definitely needs to be reworked.
Okay.
So
moving on to H, ditch tenders. Right, we're good with this. That's our suggestion. What we've come up with. We're ready to move on. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Ditch tenders and other agents of the district shall have access to all lands irrigated from its water system and to all conduits for the purpose of inspection, examination, measurement, surveys, and other necessary purposes of the district with the right of installation, maintenance, control, and regulation of all meters and other measuring devices, gates, turnouts, and other structures necessary or proper for the measurement and distribution of water. The public is not allowed on ditches on private property. So the suggestion is clarify public is not allowed on ditch on private property. Solution, update ordinance.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I have a question though, and Adam, I bet you can answer this. What exactly, what does that mean? How much easement is by the ditch? So when you say don't get on the ditch, does that mean you can go up next to it? Or is there feet on each side of the ditch that is considered easement?
It's typically 12 feet from the center line of the ditch is the easement that we, the prescriptive easement that we use.
Okay, perfect.
What'd you say, 12 what?
12 and a half feet from the center line.
Oh, 12 and a half.
Okay. Yeah,
12 from the center.
On either side or total?
So 25 total.
Okay.
12
okay.
and a half from the center line.
Okay.
Go ahead. When you say general public, do you mean the customer coming to check his box?
I would think not.
Yeah, that would be under homeowner.
Right. Well, a lot of times, see, like Terry Hicker's ditch, mine's it's like 3/4 of a mile away from my place. I got to go up to somebody else's property to get to the ditch, and then I come in from the back side of it so I could check my ditch. The water box.
So typically that would be, you would have an easement when you developed your connection to
right
to the district. So that would be between you and that property owner.
Right. But what I'm talking about, while I'm up there on that 25 feet, I got a right to be there, correct?
Yeah, because otherwise we would not let you connect to the system.
Right. Okay. That's what I just want to make sure we're not losing any of the water person's rights to check his box.
No, I don't get that. I was just curious because the language again is a little limiting, I think, about who's who and what's what. So I wasn't sure about where the easement on the ditch was. And so I don't know. What does everybody think? Is it good? Ready to go?
Should question. Should we say the public is not allowed on ditches on private property without express permission of the district or the property owner? Does that clear it up?
And the property.
And the property owner. The district sure. And the property owner.
Right. I'm good with that. Everybody good okay. with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Christy, say it again.
The green item in green would read, the public is not allowed on ditches on private property without the express permission of both the district and the property owner.
Got it. Yeah. I think that's really good. I like that. Okay,
I like
on.
That.
Can we move on? Fran, did you yep. have something?
Yeah, I do have, towards the beginning where it's going through the district's rights, I just want to clarify that I did not hear that the district has the right to come on to inspect the water use on a person's property.
I'm not sure. Well, it depends on why they're there. I'm not sure they have the right to come on and see why you're using your water. Maybe they do. I don't know.
And I thought the language said that they had the right to come on and inspect how you were using the water.
They have a right to inspect. I don't.
Okay. Installation, maintenance, control, and regulation of all meters and other measuring devices, gates, turnouts, and other structures necessary or proper for the measurement and distribution of water.
No, that wasn't what I was concerned, but is that a beautiful run-on sentence?
Were you an English teacher?
No, I just write a lot of protocols in the past.
Oh, good. We'll know who to go to, Fran. Okay. So where are we with this?
I think we're back up to J.
Yeah, we're on J.
Yeah, okay, I, we got I, no bridges. Are we good? Are we moving on from H?
Fine.
Okay, here we go. So I is no bridge crossing. I think that was all good. Oh, this one I had it. Okay, so I'll just read it. No bridges, crossing, pipe, or other structures shall be placed in or over a canal without written permission of the district. Maintenance of the canal crossing shall not be in the district's responsibility, but shall rest with the owner of the crossing. Where the owner fails to maintain the crossing, the district may perform the necessary repairs or removal at the expense of the owner. Notice of the district's intent will be given, if possible, to the owners prior to the work commencing. J, no rubbish, garbage, refuse, I don't know what that word is, chemicals or animal matter from any source may be placed in or allowed to be emptied into any ditch, canal, or reservoir of the district. So, suggested change. Ban pesticides, herbicides by district or property owners. Challenges. Keeping the ditches clear without, I'm assuming, using chemicals, enforcement, and then the solution would be increased policing of ditches, increase manual ditch clearing, and evaluate alternative herbicides. Anybody got anything on that?
Yeah, who's going to do it from the district? What's going to be the time and employee costs?
Well, I had already asked if what's the thing that kills everything?
Roundup.
If Roundup, I had heard that Roundup was used to keep the ditches clear, which always concerned me, but I asked and I was told no Roundup, but I never did ask exactly what is used. So Adam, help us. What exactly is used to keep the ditches clear?
And Roundup is a product name. Glyphosate is the chemical.
Oh, you're right. Thank you, Christy. Very correct. Adam, can you help us with this?
Yeah, we do it manually. We do not use chemicals right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. What is your thoughts on that?
I think if there was an evaluation done, something that could be safe, you know, that might be worth looking into.
Do you feel that it's, I mean, I don't know how much labor is used to keep those canals and ditches clear, but I don't know, like how much
I really don't think that you can do a broad ban of all pesticides, or you have to be able to use all the tools that you have to look after the environment. And we keep getting breakthroughs in fertilizers and pesticides and all sorts of things. So to have an absolute written ban on one of the tools that the district would have to look after its ditches, I think is quite dangerous. I think we have to.
He's already said that they don't use.
And another thing I'd add here, this is on the customer side mainly, I think, as opposed to the district. So
without permission of the district.
Right.
That needs to be added, I think.
Oh, no, I know.
In other words, we don't want anybody else using stuff on.
Right, exactly.
But we can use what is legally right to use.
Wow.
Vetted by the government. That's what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, but glyphosate is legal. So.
Yeah, but when glyphosate was first brought out, it was not known to be associated with cancers. But now that we know, then we probably need to review that. I won't say stop it, but the review of the use.
I have a question.
Christy.
Yeah, so you said that the district does all this by hand. Are we literally talking about hoes and shovels, or is there a small masticator of some kind that would mechanize that and make it a little bit easier to get rid of those, the growth?
Yeah, we do use some push behind spring mowers, a lot of hand weed whackers, that kind of hedge trimmers. A lot of it depends on like the width of our ditches and the access we have to, though, you know.
I like that we don't use chemicals. I'll just say that. I think I'm not sure there's any safe enough to use. That's how I look at it, though. But I also understand the difficulty of then dealing with vegetation when you're not using any type of chemical help. So I get that. I deal with that all the time, but that's just me.
So salt and vinegar also kills plants. Right,
exactly, that's true. Strong vinegar and salt will also, but exactly. So we don't want to say don't use anything, but I don't know.
Are chemicals, right?
Well, true.
What is
chemicals covers everything. So we need a word, Christy, we need verbiage to explain what we mean. And so I'm going to throw that ball back in your part, girl.
Yeah, well, are we going to call, vinegar is technically a cooking item, right? So pesticides and herbicides, I think, is going to be fine, isn't it? Or non-cancer causing or something.
Something, yeah. Should we think about this? And Christy, you
come I think we need to...
Okay.
Come up with language that upholds what we're going for.
Yes, I agree. Does everybody agree with that, Fran? Are you good with that?
Fine.
Yeah, Bill and Alexandra, are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I just want to ask.
I agree that the district should.
Oh, we can't tell.
Is remedy approved on a non-running ditch? The product Remedy for blackberries, is that able to be used if there's no water running in the ditch?
If there's no water, is that what you're saying, Bill? No water?
Yeah. No water present in the ditch, because there's times in the spring and the fall we don't have water in the ditch, especially after you get down to the treatment plant.
And see, I don't know what the chemical or the what you're referring to use. It's in the soil. When the water comes through, it's in the water. And I mean, for a strong enough herbicide or something, that's how it works, right? It just doesn't dissipate and go away.
You'd have to check it out, but you spray it on the blackberries, it kills it within 2 or 3 days.
Yeah,
and if it was done when the ditch was dry and you didn't spray it in the ditch, but you sprayed it on the plants leading up to the ditch, because you know how plants are, they grow out from the ditch. So you wouldn't necessarily have to spray it in the ditch. So there's something to think about. You know, it'd be better to let Adam or somebody else go and check that out to see if that would work.
I think environmentally friendly is a key phrase.
Yeah, that's a real good environmental friendly. That I like that. And I think that's what the district already is being, obviously. Right. And so we just want to make sure that as time goes on and other people begin to join in, that may not be, well, anyhow, I think that's great.
Okay.
Is everybody good with that? And we'll come back to it. Is that what we're agreeing to?
Yeah.
I do. And I think before we make any blanket decisions that you listen to a PCA or somebody on the science of everything that we do use. And I would, I have to assume that the district does have scientists involved on recommendations.
Isn't our new general manager have a degree in environmental sciences?
I don't.
Mike?
Yes.
I mean, if something, I mean, it's not up to us to decide what's safe for the environment, right? I mean, we can't decisions on
Alexandra, I can't hear
by the irrigation district.
Well, it's our environment.
Yeah, Alexandra, I'm not, you're breaking up to me. Did everybody hear what Alexandra just said? I couldn't make it out.
I think she said we need to investigate it.
Agreed. Agreed.
Which is what we agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. So we're moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. District. Okay. Here we go. District canals or reservoirs shall not be used for swimming or bathing. And it suggests a change. Clarify, no swimming or bathing allowed on system.
Sounds good to me.
Well, it seems pretty clear. District canal reservoirs shall not be used for swimming or bathing. I don't know. How much clearer can we make that?
Does that include Stumpy?
Oh, no, we can swim in Stumpy. I think this means canal. Oh, maybe that's what it means. Clarify. Update.
Yeah.
So it means
no. This says reservoir.
District can or reservoirs. Oh, huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that means the, but we can't swim in your, if you have a pond that's irrigation water, you can swim in it, right?
Bill, well, swim right. That's pond? Not the irrigation source, right?
Okay. Maybe
that's
we do need canal. To make that clearer. And so reservoir, you're right. If they mean the ponds, then we need to, I don't know. Perhaps that isn't as clear as I thought it was.
It's just the canals.
Yeah,
well, that should be just the canals.
District canals or reservoirs. Is that still just the canals?
We do have reservoirs within our irrigation system, within the conveyance system.
But they're not, are they not the ponds, right, Adam?
No, they would be like Greenwood Lake, Walton Lake.
Oh, I got gotcha.
Yeah, that's
well,
yeah,
then
that's,
let's that's, name that's, them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's reword that. Let's make and suggestions.
That means whenever a new pond is added, we're going to have to change the ordinance.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
How often do we add ponds like that?
Adam, how often?
It's very unlikely and rare.
But okay. With stormwater capture coming up, we may have the ability to make a stormwater reservoir. So
yeah, that's right. Okay, we could also.
But add, now we have a committee. We can do this.
Yeah, and we can add verbiage saying, or if any new reservoirs are added. I mean, that seems easy, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody agrees.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We're going to make that. We're going to suggest that wording becomes clearer, correct?
And reservoirs correct. Are named.
Yeah, yep. And reservoirs are named. Okay. Everybody good? Are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. L, livestock shall not be permitted to contaminate the water supply nor destroy or damage the canal system or use thereof. Property owners are liable for any damage due to livestock. Okay, so what they're saying is if you have livestock, let's say in your, I don't know if it's not at my house, but if you've got a canal by your property, is there anyone have like a pasture where the cows are going to go drink out of the canal? Is that what that's saying, that that's not legal? So no one can use their ditch that's going through their property if they have a pasture and their animals can't even drink out of it. Is that what this is saying? So it's not happening. What my concern was, the suggested change was clarify no livestock allowed on canal system. And what my concern was, if it was already happening, like a canal was going through a pasture, like at Bill's place, someone that's got lots of acres and the canal, I don't know how this works, but if the canal goes through and that customer has been using it to use it for their livestock and we say, no, you can't do that anymore. I just want to make sure we're not doing that.
You there?
It sounds like we're already making sure. Yes, Fran?
It said that they didn't want livestock to contaminate the canal.
Right.
Drinking from the canal would not contaminate it.
Well, that's what I wanted to know, because in this one it says livestock shall not be permitted to contaminate the water supply, nor destroy or damage the canal or use thereof. So it sounds to me that use thereof means no one can use it to give water to their livestock. I just wanted clarification only because
not directly from the ditch.
No, that's not what it means.
Okay, well then, okay. And but here's the suggested change. Clarify no livestock allowed on canal system. What my concern was, someone that has a place like Bill, a big spread, they could be currently using canal water to water their livestock. I don't want to go back and say you can't do that now. And that new verbiage, clarify no livestock allowed on canal system, sounds like that's what we're doing. What do you think, Christy?
I think that what we're trying to do is not contaminate the water in the canals themselves.
Yes, agreed.
If you want to take the water out and give it to your livestock, that's not a problem because it's not backflowing.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So leave as is. Are we good with leaving it as is?
Well, I got one problem with it.
Okay,
If you got 300 acres and it's running through your 300 acres, what is the owner of the property supposed to do?
It says right in there, owners are liable for any damage that happens.
So in other words, you can still give your livestock the irrigation canal water. Just don't let them poop in it and get in it, correct?
Well, yeah, but how are you going to stop that? Consistently, you're going to be out there watching your cows all day long.
Do we have that situation? Is it running through anybody's property, Adam? There's livestock.
My old ranch down there. There's some cherry acres all the way down to probably over 2 miles.
Well, then we don't want to clarify no livestock allowed on canal system. What does on mean? In it? I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to make some big rancher's life miserable because we didn't take, they're already using it in consideration.
Yeah. I know several ranches where the water ditch is running through it. The ditch isn't as deep as it is going through my old ranch. My old ranch cow wouldn't get in it because it's too deep.
But the other ranches you know of, are the cows, do they just walk through it?
Well, my old ranch, I had bridges for them to go across.
That's great.
We're not supposed to have bridges.
Not without approval.
Right, not without approval.
You can get approval.
To maintain it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they'd turn down that kind of an improvement.
Right? Okay, so just a question. I think why they want this is a curious idea. Has there ever been a problem with a human or an animal getting sick from one of GD Pub's contaminated dishwaters? That's really what they're asking.
I don't think so because nobody drinks dishwater. So,
and that's how I would answer it.
This has been on the book since 2005.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's leave it as is. Is everybody okay with this?
Leave it as is.
And we can look at it again if we have documentation of an illness.
Yep, that's perfect. Right. Okay. Folks, listen, I have a little suggestion. It's 306 and we're on page 3. And since we got a little reprieve from the governor that we could take this up at our next meeting, do we want to keep plowing through it? Do we want to, now that we've got this far, stop? Or do we want to keep going? I'm okay with anything.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I think that we've had this on our agenda for a couple meetings now.
Correct.
And we haven't addressed it. We haven't gone through it. I think now that all the members understand what is really needed, that we need to move on to Mike's presentation.
Agreed.
And come back. Agreed. And let's everybody go through this, come up with their questions or whatever for the November meeting so we can go through it more quickly.
Okay. All righty.
Good.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
I want to add to that too. If you guys go through the questions and get to the president, beforehand, I could probably get some of the answers to you, you know, or be prepared for some of the questions, have a better answer as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So
thank you.
Looks like we've gotten all the way through section one. We'll start off at section two.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
Excellent.
So we're on old business. We took the get over the old ordinance and okay, we're not going to do that. And so now we're on to new business. Go, Bill.
Okay. New business.
There we are.
There we go. Report on water restrictions alternative, Christy.
Oh, that's me. Okay. So at our May meeting, So the same day that we were meeting, the district came down with the 20% reduction and the cutoff of the ditch water as of September 1st. And so we talked at the meeting about what we would like to see the district consider. And frankly, by the time that we are now addressing what we were talking about, most of these points have already either been addressed or implemented. So if anybody has any questions on anything here, I don't think there's anything to add. I'm satisfied with what the district has done as far as what was contained in here, because the recommendations that we made were by a review of district resources and data, determine early each year whether the start of the season can be delayed from 15 to 30 days, May 15th or June 1st, and provide customers the required minimum of 30 days notice of such decision. Research the temporary flow reduction technology and explore how those can be addressed. And I think that Adam's explanation that to reduce it creates flow problems, clogging in individual customers' connections. So I'm not sure that that can be done, but if we find something in the future, that'd be great. And to research other innovative means to maintain irrigation water availability regarding to the fire protection. And I think extending the season from the first through October, to back to the regular season, address that just fine. Yep. So does anybody have any questions or other commentary?
No, that's wonderful, Christy. Thanks for doing that. It did sort of things change from that meeting and to where we are today. But those suggestions that you have, I think definitely we need to pick the ball up now and carry it farther. Agreed? Yeah, because those are good ideas. Yeah.
Now, I think fire mitigation is key.
Obviously. I don't know if it falls in, but I know that in the packet somewhere we got the application that everybody's given each year, and I think there could be modifications to improve that as well. So,
yeah, and a blanket proposal or request of all of California may not fit every water district.
Right.
If we're doing a good job conserving water during the summer, so we're over 90% full on September 1, I think we're in a good spot.
The other thing that occurred to me after the fact, I'm sorry, I just thought of it, was as far as I understand it, the ditch water is dialed down when there are repairs that have to be made, and that could be any time during the irrigation season or not. Is that correct? Anybody, yeah, Adam?
Adam?
It can be. Yeah, it kind of depends on the repair, but it can be. We can.
So I was wondering if in future years, if that process could be applied to the ditch to achieve that 20% reduction, maybe one day a week or something along those lines, so it's not an absolute cutoff as of a date, but happens throughout the season?
Well, so when we do those kind of repairs, it's very localized. So I don't mean repairs.
I just mean bring the ditch down.
Yeah, so hear me out. So when we do a repair, it's a localized repair. So we cut the water out very close to that repair to actually limit water flow for the entire ditch. I mean, it takes a few days. that would be coming from Stumpy Meadows to actually meet those conservation requirements. So it's a whole different thing.
Is that something that could be looked at for future seasons as a possible?
It really would depend on, you know, how long people would be want to be out of water. You know, I mean, anything be looked at, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather be out of water for a couple days a month than
October. Right.
I mean, you're talking more like a week.
Oh. So it would be what that would be like the minimum time period would be a week, not just like a couple days.
At least, yeah.
Okay.
A couple days, because it takes, this is recent emergency. We started turning water back on Sunday and everyone didn't have it till Wednesday.
Okay.
And that was only halfway through our system. That wasn't from Stumpy Meadows. That was only halfway through our system.
Oh, I see. So, that makes sense.
Well, that was just, you know, one idea I had of looking at, you know, thinking outside the box for future years.
That's what we've all got to do right now. Think outside the box and come up with some innovative ideas that will make this work. Just like Fran said, we don't fit in the same box that a lot of other water districts do. So, and especially now that we just had the fire, holy moly, I look at things way different now. Never had to to bug out. Now I know what's important and leave it. Get my clothes.
Oh, even the little house fire over in Cherry Acres, the helicopters were going to one of the neighbor's ponds to pull up water. Like, duh.
And let me just add for the state stuff, state mandates are state mandates. So the only person that you can go to fight those mandates is the state. We have to abide by it. I'm just saying in general, I've been going to the work groups. I mean, if you've seen, we've been saying you can't have cookie cutters for cookie cutter solutions for all the districts. Every district was mandated to do their own local, and we were not allowed to do local control. So you have to remember, once local control goes, we have to follow state mandates. Right. So we try to do as much as we can to mitigate it, but sometimes that's just the way it's going to be. So we'll continue to do what we can at our end. But just remember, when a state mandate comes down, you're either in compliance or not in compliance. So,
yeah, well, I've got some thoughts. If we could get, because really what we're talking about is maintaining local water for emergency services. Could we go to the Office of Emergency Services and get their approval to kind of don't they have more power than the water department?
That's from State Department of Water Resources. The enforcement arm of that is the State Water Resource Control Board.
Somebody said, okay, we'll talk.
And I go to all of those meetings. So that's,
if you
want to have a change,
so lucky.
Those are the place to go. So if you want to make inroads, that's the Department of Water Resources and State Water Resource Control Board are the meetings to attend and bring up your public comments there.
Okay, so Chris, are you done talking? I was just going to say, what do we do with your report now? Just sort of shelf it for now or just take the suggestions? Because We're not gonna, or is there a report that we want to agree on and submit to the board? What are you thinking?
Well, I think that this is basically just a documentation at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of thinking.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, this is kind of just put it in the file for reference. This happened.
Yeah.
Right.
I like a copy. I
recommend you add it to the minutes and you attach it and your minutes from your meeting should go to the board and the board will see it so they can.
Okay.
All right. That's great. Okay. Are we good?
Mike, I have a question for you. You mentioned the State Water Resources Board meetings and that sort of stuff. Can the irrigation committee members get those dates and places from the district?
I wouldn't get it. You could just go online and look up where the Department of Water Resources meets or the State Water Resource Control Board and attend those meetings. So.
Okay. Can we get in the minutes the exact names of those agencies?
Yep, I'll share it with Carol so she can put in the minutes for you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yay, Carol. Okay, So that's awesome. We're moving on. And I guess this is our information on our annual water assessment process by President Saunders. Take it away, Mike.
Okay, so I saw you in some of the previous meetings, the irrigation committee was discussing the ability to shift the irrigation season. And that's something that, yep, and I can do it too if you want, Carol.
Okay.
I can do it. I was just waiting. Oop, I'll switch it. There we go. All right. So so that was one of the things that you guys talked about, and it's something that's already been done at the district. It's been done all the time, and it's during the declaration of the annual water year. Very few times has it come up where anybody's actually wanted to shift it. During the last slowdown where we had the drought, where there was time that was a percent reduction voluntary put in, and the last time there was shortage in 2020, I believe, actually Alexandra's husband John came in and wanted to slow down the irrigation for that year so there could be some for the next year. But there is a built-in process, and even last year and this year we actually seriously discussed shifting the irrigation season because of the drier that it's been in the October, September months. So this will kind of give you how we do the annual water supply and demand assessment and give you guys some timelines where you know when the best time for the irrigation committee to weigh in is.
Okay.
I know this is hard to see, but basically the Bible is the Urban Water Management Plan. And at the emergency meeting and at the regular meeting, Adam said, the things we realized with this one, especially with fire mitigation, we may be looking at this sooner than later to revise it so we can add those fire mitigation procedures into our water shortage contingency plan, because there are things we learned with dealing with this fire that we have to do in terms of the irrigation system, the canal system, the treated water system. So we'll need to address this. So basically that Bible has everything in it. Within it is the water shortage contingency plan. Based on drought assessments, mandates, and local conditions, that will lead to what planning you have. And the way it's implemented is by, we do the water supply and demand assessment. We do that by taking an annual water supply, which is a demand assessment of the district. We do a look at what the annual water shortage assessment report is. And then water shortage response actions are based on what those conditions look like and through the Urban Water Management Plan. And basically just to show how it's implemented. So the water shortage contingency plan, the procedures are in that Bible I talked about, the Urban Water Management Plan, that goes into the annual assessment. The response actions are how we implement it. And the decision-making process, and those all go into, you see the decision-making process goes into the water shortage assessment report. The response action is how we identify the actions to mitigate potential shortages. And the annual assessment is what helps give the projected shortage levels. And sometimes our annual assessment may not have a projected shortage level like this time, but the state put us into one. So then that puts us into a mitigation thing. The other thing to remember is this can be reviewed. So it's not a one-time thing. So this is something we review during the year. The thing that's changed from previous years is before it just looked at the current year unconstrained demand. Now it looks at the current year plus a dry year of unconstrained demand. So we can't just look at a current year, we have to project for having enough water for a dry year after that. And that's where the challenge comes in. And we know supplies, that's infrastructure capabilities and constraint considerations. And this year we are going to have supplies, which are going to be outside of projections because we know we've had to use water to fight fire. So we have hundreds of thousands of gallons being used for ditch tending, for buckets going out. So we're going to have see a huge loss of water from fighting the fire, and that may impact our supplies for next year. And as I said, this is ongoing reassessments that we do throughout the year. So if we're in a shortage or a drought situation, as we are now, you see we reassess this every month, and it's based on the actual conditions, and we readjust the plan based on our shortage response actions. And the actual conditions this time around also include the state mandate, but we were able to readjust it because we were met a bunch of the conditions, and we added that fire mitigation response, which is kind of allowed, but there is no metrics for it. So we're going to have to come up with our own metrics and put that into our urban water management plan. So where are we now? Right now, we're at the stage where we want to prepare for next year's assessment. And this is where we are. You see the ongoing assessments are throughout the year. We adjust the water shortage response actions based on the conditions, and that's what we've been doing. We saw early on in May that when you were going into the hotter months, so the response action then was to increase communication, because basically that's our only tool for the treated water side initially, is to get the word out to have them conserve. And as you know, on the irrigation side, our only real tool we have now is to reduce supply. So this is the date when we declare the annual water year and the irrigation season. It's in April. So you know the April meeting is when you have to have any recommendations or changes to shift. That's the drop dead date. That April meeting, the second meeting is Tuesday. That's it. That's when we have to decide, make that decision, plan the bills, and all of that stuff.
You mean the meeting is the second Tuesday, don't you?
Yeah, the second Tuesday in April.
Yeah, not the second meeting.
Yeah, the second Tuesday in April is when that meeting will be done. So throughout the year, basically, there is going to be times in the year where we have water projections to specifically target that. And in the evaluation process, and Adam can, we usually do projections all the way throughout, but the two main ones are going to be the November meeting and the February meeting. So those are the meetings where if you're the irrigation committee, you want to come to the November meeting. This way in your November and December meetings, you could come up with your solutions. And remember, that's going to be pre-winter snow possibility. And then February is going to be the post-snow and the snowpack, where we'll know how much snow we had, what the projection looks like for the year. So February will be the next meeting, and that's the one you could come to where that. So November is pretty much showing how we ended up last year. February is really going to show where we're going to be for the upcoming year and next year. And that's probably the best meeting for you guys to take that information and decide what you should do with the irrigation season. Should it be shifted over based on the projections and forecast and seasonal projections and all of that? And if Adam has anything else he'd like to add with that as well.
I don't think so. I think he covered it pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Any questions on that?
That makes sense.
Totally confused me.
So we do that process. And as Jerry said, it totally confused me. It confused the board when I brought it to them the first time. And until you actually have to use it, it doesn't make any sense. And this was actually the first year we actually had to use it, but we didn't know until after the fact. So now that we're doing the assessments and stuff, people are realizing the importance of it, as it did the irrigation committee as well, and many of the irrigation customers. And this has been a process that's always been there, but until you have to use it, it's just something that no one really pays attention to. So now I'm pretty sure everybody will be like, all right, we really need to understand that if it's going to be drier in September and it's wetter early on, we may want to do that shift. So that's the thing to consider. If it's going to be 2 weeks, a month, whatever, those are the things that will take your input. Christy?
So So as an irrigation committee, will we be provided those statistics from November through?
Yeah, so if you come to the board meeting, that's when we do all the projections.
Then. Okay.
And it's in the board packet as well, so you'll be able to see all of that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Projections include numerous stuff, and we also hired Western Hydraulic to help us with the projections and forecasting. So,
okay.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you, Michael. That was that helped me a lot. Every meeting I learn more and more and more. It's like, oh, okay, I thought it just magically came up my hill. Wow, this is a little more complicated than I thought.
Pretty much. Before I got involved with the water district, I mean, most people turn on the tap, you get water. All right, that's good to go.
It's
you
a good day. Let's do it. Well, you
say, what the next one we
do? Exactly.
I don't need to know. It's like, I don't get why a light bulb lights up, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to turn the switch on.
Exactly.
Okay. So
this time I think is probably going to be the first time we're actually going to have a discussion on shifting the season and possible dates, weeks, and that stuff. I think that's going to be look forward to have the irrigation committee's input. And one thing to do at the time when you have your meeting on it is to make sure you invite the irrigation customers. So we'll try and let them know when you're having the meeting so you can get some feedback on what happened to other irrigation customers during the year and how they feel on it also. This way you get more of more statistics.
Yeah, good idea.
And also I know we have a good range. So we have people like, it's funny, people that are in Georgetown are like, I never have a problem with irrigation. Well, you're at the beginning, based on people that like Fran, who are at the very end, and people in Cherry Acres, where like Bill, they have more of the problem sometimes because when you're at the end, it is more of a challenge. And also, if we could hear from the people that have pipes, that's something I'd like to hear from too, the difference between the canal users and pipe users.
Yeah, I'm a pipe user. I don't have a canal, so I'm assuming I'm a pipe user.
Yep. I think the canal comes to a holding pond across the street and then is piped to us.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Yep.
Oh, that's how it all works, right? Because I know there's a pond before my pipes, right? Right, Adam? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a pond or a reservoir, and then it gets piped to your residence, correct?
No, it can vary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it can vary.
Okay.
Yeah, as you come down from 193 from Georgetown to Cool, if you look on the north side, there's open ditch there.
Oh, yeah.
Correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of open ditch.
Okay.
Christy?
So I would like to make a request that a standard agenda item for the committee is status updates of stumpy levels and that sort of thing. So we don't have to remember to put it on each time so that we can absolutely discuss it.
Okay, say that again.
That every irrigation committee agenda includes a line item for status updates of all of these processes, statistics that Mike is talking about so we can thoroughly discuss it.
Every meeting, every have an update.
No, just that it's a topic so that we can discuss it. We don't have to have an update.
Put it on the agenda.
Put it on the agenda.
Oh, on the agenda. It's a standing agenda item. Yes.
Yeah, we can't talk about it.
Okay, let's make sure that. So what? How do we say it? So it'll be. I'll put it. Make sure that it gets put on the agenda. Further discussion. Further discussion.
Discussion of resources status.
Water resource report?
Well, I don't think it has to be a report. If we have a report, we're supposed to go to the, according to Mike, we're going to go to the board meeting.
Basically, it's in the operations manager report, and sometimes there's a special report. So there'll always be that board report in every board meeting.
But I want it on the irrigation committee agenda so that we can discuss it.
Yeah, you can add it to the agenda, exactly.
Okay.
But it may not be something I wouldn't do it all the time unless
at least we'd be able to, because I'm learning now, put it on the agenda so at least we can discuss it.
Yeah.
If we don't discuss it.
Perfect. Okay. I'll make
sure. And I would definitely set it for the November one, the February one, and make sure you have it so you have the input for the April board meeting.
Right.
If we're not in shortage, it may you may look at it during the irrigation year. So let's say 1 year we're at this time and you guys are at like 12,000, like we were last time, 12,000 acre feet, then you could make decisions. Is there something you guys want to do in terms of preserving more water for the next season and things like that? So yeah, so that yeah. That's a reasonable.
Okay. Perfect, good idea, Christy.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. we were talking about fire mitigation, and I remember some discussion about mapping the ponds in the district and knowing what their capabilities of are. Where does that come in that we can have a discussion or get that process in gear? How do we agendize that? I guess is my.
That wouldn't be from your end. That I mean, we already gave that direction to staff. So basically, have to figure out the best way to do that. So we might give a survey to all the customers. How many ponds do you have? Are you on irrigation water? And find out some way to do it that way. Because as we said, we have probably two staff that have many other duties that we would have to put that on. So it's
Michael, I have experience with putting together surveys. So I will volunteer to help with that if you wish.
Well, if Adam wants to work with you, Adam's probably going to be the one who's dealing with it, Adam and Alexis. So when it comes to that point, and it's also important because we're going to need to use that for variances, because the state had no idea on how to quantify the ponds and canals and ditches when I brought that up as a fire mitigation to a water shortage contingency plan and the budget. So,
does that mean we get to establish it?
We would the same way that probably Nicholas down at the Mojave Desert, they established the evaporative cooler variants because they mostly use evaporative coolers for cooling down there as opposed to air conditioning.
Yeah, they would have a higher evaporation than we do here. Yeah.
Although we have a lot of evaporative coolers out here because the humidity works well for us and it's less energy. So they just wanted us to do all the calculations ourselves. So.
Oh, good.
And how does desalinization come into our district? It's on one of your reporting table three.
Because remember, these are tables from Department of Water Resources.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
It's going to take into account all of the possible things that can occur from north to south.
Okay.
So, sorry, Mike. Like one of the things that I used to talk about was golf courses because they make them essential, turf replacement. So you can, I know here's a golfer here. So you can keep watering them. And I used to say, this is something you should cut back on. But where we are, we also use water for leisure. So when it's dry, places like, Heavenly and all those places in Tahoe that have ski resorts use a lot of water to produce snow. So whether you're at a golf course or snow, we do the same thing. So leisure and water is an issue. You had another question, Christy?
No, I was just going to say, I called a guy at the Water Resources Board as part of the public to ask some questions. And he told me that I'm not recalling which golf course it was in our area, but they went through 1 million gallons a day.
Wow.
Yep.
In our county. And I think it was the one near Crystal Springs or something.
Yeah. Anyway. A lot of water, but they tend to be efficient as well. So even though that's a lot, that's probably efficient because they want to spend their money on something else other than water. And that's what Nicholas was a golf course manager. So he said, golf courses are probably efficient with the water they use because they need to spend the money on things other than just watering it. But
okay.
But that's a big issue that we're going to have to deal with in the future because we probably have the most golf courses in anywhere. And most of them are in the middle of the desert. Most of them are in Palm Springs, so that's one of the things we're going to have to do. And ALT is another one that has the golf course where when it comes to drought and stuff, they're going to have to think of ways to conserve water. But that's okay. Going off our agenda here, so. All right, any other questions on the assessment or planning? If not, I will let you guys finish up.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Okay, it looks like we're up to number 8, right, Bill? And it's just,
yeah.
What do we want to put on the agenda that we talk about in November? Our next meeting will be in November, correct? Or unless anyone...
Yeah.
Okay, then anything, what I have so far is it's continue the discussion of the water resources, what we just were continuing, and continue with ordinance discussion. And anything
correct. Else?
We want a discussion on the water assessment process, what the 2022. Right, okay.
And to continue with that, what the ordinance, getting the ordinance, and anything else we need. If it's not on the agenda, Fran, you probably know this and everyone, but if it's not on the agenda, we can't discuss it. So anything. Yes.
I have a question. I'm all for having standing items on an agenda, because if you don't need to discuss it, you don't have to.
Right.
You can move on.
Right.
I would like to see somehow it agendized that anything that we've talked about before can be talked about again.
Can I word that? Is that legal?
It comes under old business, doesn't it?
Well, from what I've seen, even if it's under old business, it has to be specific.
Yeah.
Like, the reviewing the ordinance. Yeah, and I think maybe reviewing prior discussion topics or something like that, would that
be
okay?
You would have to have a reason for it, because especially if it's something you voted on, once you voted on it, then it's kind of a done deal unless you're bringing it up again. So,
and it's kind of, I think, for the public, because they want to know what we're going to be talking about. So if we just have these, I don't know, that could be an issue also, although I'm not sure.
Yeah, my recommendation would be, if there's something you discuss on one agenda and you want to bring it back the next month, that's the way you do it. But to have a standing one makes it hard to keep adding stuff on if you have a huge agenda full of old stuff.
But we're a small committee. We don't have as much as the board has on our plate.
Which means you have a smaller staff that has to do all of the agenda staff reports
for
all of those items that you are putting on.
Okay. We have a staff, Mike? That's great. No, I'm kidding.
I know, right? Oh, yay. All right. So anything else?
But you understand my point, right?
If new information
comes up, I don't want to have to wait 30 days to talk about it.
But I mean, there is that option. So if something comes up, you can always request that, let's put this on the agenda. So.
And how far in advance do we have to do that?
48 hours or on the agenda?
Before it's published,
posted in 72.
It's 72 hours that it has to be published. How long before do we have to get it on the agenda before the 72 hours?
Whenever the agenda planning meeting is. So the chair is the one that would, you would let the chair know, and the chair would be able to get it coordinated.
Okay.
So any request you have, send to the chair. However, this is the thing to remember. Requests aren't really supposed to be individual driven. They're supposed to be committee driven and voted on by the committee. So it should be the committee wants to bring this forward, as opposed to this person wants this, this person wants that. That's why this is put on for this point in time, for everybody to kind of vote on the next agenda items. So it's not a bunch of individual stuff that comes on. So everybody is aware of and in consensus of what they want to vote on or see worked on next.
But you understand my problem. We discussed the things that I wrote up in May. We didn't get to it in July. The August meeting was canceled due to no quorum. And here we are in September. So 4 months passed before we could get to talking about it. So
that wasn't an agenda problem. That was a meeting people showing up problem. So, I mean, they were
all part of it. Yeah.
But it's hard when you keep doing that, because it, as it says, it builds up agenda, and you don't want to have things on that you're not going to discuss on the agenda, because staff still has to do a report for it. So,
well, then can we say discussion of topics from the prior meeting? Would that limit it enough?
if you voted on it, then why would you be, if it's something to be bring back? So as I said, anything,
well, if we didn't vote on it,
anything that you need to bring back, you can bring back, but just bring it. It has to be specific each time. So just bring back anything you need to discuss again. It's okay. Not,
all right.
It's that not that sense. Difficult to say, bring back the ordinance, bring back this. I mean, yeah. Easy to do.
So got does it. Anybody have anything we want to bring back besides the ordinance and the, whatever else. Yeah, the water resource.
Is the water resource going to include fire stats?
Explain yourself. What is fire stats? What are you?
Well, the statistics from this fire, how much water we lost, the things that broke, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I see. Well, we could put it on there. I mean, you know, and say review. I don't know. How do you want to?
I mean, the board will ask for that. I mean, the board will ask for what Adam wants. Adam, do you know, I don't know when we're going to be able to have those statistics as well either. So Adam, do you know how that's going to be done?
Yeah, I think I know how we can do it. So I was thinking maybe, you know, either the October board meeting or November board meeting with the bigger report. That's what I was kind of thinking, if we can, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be, it may take a while because we might have to do it when we do our water loss and be able to do a subtraction to figure out exactly how much water was used, because I don't know if we're going to get an exact inventory of this is how much we use from all of the helicopters and firefighters and all of that. So we're going to have to estimate that from what's used over and above what we went to the treatment plant and went to irrigation.
Well, can I make a request that our November meeting have a discussion, just a generalized discussion about what happened with the fire?
Sure.
And keep in mind, our committee chairman, Ray, is supposed to attend these board meetings and then come back and report to us. So on the meeting of November 17th, if Ray or one of us represents the Irrigation Water Committee, goes to the board, then that would be a report given to the committee from what transpired at the board meeting, correct?
That's correct.
And the other thing I would recommend is that everybody attend the board meeting if you're a committee member, because that will really keep you up to date on what's going on, not just in irrigation, but throughout the entire district, and it'll get you a good insight on stuff.
Otherwise, we're just rehashing everything that the board discussed. And so I would say, yes, let's go to that meeting. And if most of us or some of us are there, it would probably save the committee some time, right?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. So agreed. Do we need to put that on our agenda then, that we want to discuss that?
I would, because it's going to be the first time it impacted irrigation. So you can kind of have a discussion on how did it infect irrigation. What did people do when they evacuated? See how many people left pond sprinklers and stuff on that helped cover their house or things like that. And
So discuss how the fire affected irrigation water customers.
Yep, irrigation impact.
System. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the impact on the irrigation system?
Right. Very good.
Michael, does anybody check in with the fire department to see how many times a helicopter went into a pond or a stumpy lake
to
fill with water?
Do they give you those updates, Adam?
At the end of it, they will. Yeah, because they definitely keep track of what they're using, and they will. Then the hydrant might be a different story, because that's going to be a lot harder to track.
That would be hard to quantify. The choppers will be easier. Yeah. Adam, if you need help with those figures, let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Christy?
This is the last one, I promise.
Oh, talk all you want.
I would like to put on to the, in our member... in our irrigation committee, whatever, member attendance, whether we're going to have a minimum or consequences or that sort of thing.
Is that a board thing?
A board thing?
That's the board level, and it was discussed at the last board meeting, and it's going to be in the it's already going to be probably agendized for the next board meeting.
Okay.
It may go into a committee policy because we're going to have a committee policy overall, which will have things like attendance, code of conduct, things like that for all committees across the board too.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, are we good? Everybody, anything else? Because we need
You guys need to vote on the agenda items so there's a vote. This way, when you have a report, the board can see it and know what you guys are.
Okay, perfect. So let's make sure I have it right. I have three items: to continue the ongoing discussion of the Water Resource Directive report. I'll finish the wording, and Christy, you can help me continue with the ordinance discussion and discuss. And this I just scribbled, but. Discuss how the fire impacted the irrigation water system. I'll clean up the words and make it sound like I'm a little more intelligent, but basically that's the idea of what we're gonna put on the agenda. And we need to-
Update. Put it on as an update.
Say that again, Fran.
Update, U-P-D-A-T-E.
Oh, update, okay. All righty. So I need I motion that we do the agenda and move on. I know, isn't that clever? I need a second.
Do I need a motion to accept the agenda items, which I will make right now?
Okay, go.
I move that we accept the agenda items for the November meeting that were just delineated.
Perfect.
Have a second.
Bill. All right, we're gonna vote. I'll just do a quick little rundown. I'm going back to page one. Okay, here we go. Bill.
Aye.
Carla, aye. Alexandra?
She's not here.
Oh, she went off. Okay, Fran.
Aye.
And Christy.
Aye.
Okay, passed.
All right.
And that way, once it's done that way, there is no need for a agenda planning meeting. So it just goes through to the next agenda. It's when stuff is added outside of that process, then it becomes problematic because then one person has to decide if this agenda goes on or not. And it's usually whoever the board president is. So the board usually likes to make those decisions as a board and not individually. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
And so it looks like the next meeting will be November 17th. And Bill, end it, baby.
Yep.
Cut it short.
November 17th. Okay. Sounds good to me.
Motion to adjourn.
Ah.
Okay. Carla says I move that we motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're all, we don't need to vote on that. Carried and
moved. Aye.
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 Carried by ascension.
All right, everybody be safe. Praying for rain.
Right, everybody safe.
Stay safe, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody take care.
Take care, everybody.